Kyle Malin. He's the editor of the MIRS newsletter, MIRS. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Just want to get your take on the fallout, the aftermath, if you will, on Representative Paul Scott's recall. From what I understand, he is not going to challenge the recall.
Yeah, that's right. The legal team for the House Republican Caucus has decided that while there was some irregularities in some of the polling and some of the polling locations there in southern Genesee County, there's not enough problems that the votes in question would equal a victory for Paul Scott. They did have some absentee, or they had some ballots that had to be photocopied, and they ended up counting those, but it turned out that 2-1, those ballots came back for a recall for Scott. So that didn't really help him. It just kind of widened the margin with which he lost. So when the Board of Canvassers meet on Friday, they'll certify the elections and the result, and Paul Scott will officially be out of office, marking the first casualty for the Republicans here in the state of Michigan.
Kyle, I'd like to credit whoever told me this. I can't remember where I heard it, but I heard that that recall situation got kind of nasty. It became public that he had an affair with a staffer and had a child out of wedlock, and that became a whole part of this process.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that was an issue that I think was, you know, a wrangling among conservatives. You know, it may not have been a reason to go out there and vote to recall him, but it didn't necessarily encourage folks in that district to get out and vote for him. You know, one of the things that we found in the aftermath is that the people who organized the recall really did have a huge head start. I mean, you got to remember that with the Michigan Education Association behind them, they had hundreds of volunteers who were going out and paid circulators going out collecting signatures. And when they got the signatures in that district, they had 12,000 people who, you know, had put their name down saying that they would recall Paul Scott. And that's hard to overcome when you don't have, like, a concrete base of the same magnitude. You know, you don't have 12,000 people who are willing to go to the polls for you. So you've got to work up to that. So that meant that they had to save a lot of money. They had to spend a lot of money to try and get the word out. And if you don't have a conservative base behind you, like a Tea Party group or something like that, kind of rallying the counter cause, really makes life difficult. And that's what happened with Paul Scott.
Doug Pratt from the MEA told me that the reason that they got behind this recall effort was because Representative Scott had ran saying he was going to do one thing, and he totally did the opposite. Is that true?
Well, I think the MEA probably feels a little burned. You know, back when Paul Scott ran in 2008 in the Republican primary, he actually got the endorsement of the MEA. And part of that was because the MEA didn't like the Democratic candidate because he was a member of the local school board and had approved some contracts they didn't like. But, you know, they do have to feel a little burned, and I think that has to be one of the things that came into play. But, you know, you can't discount the simple polling as well. I mean, you can't tell me that the MEA didn't go out and do some polling in a lot of these districts and find out where the squishy spot was, if you will. I mean, where could they have the most impact, and where did they have the best organization? And it just so happened that it was in Paul Scott's district. Also, let's not forget that he's the chair of the House Education Committee, too. So it makes him a lightning rod for attacks from the teachers' organization.
I find it interesting about the MEA. I'll never forget when I had a conversation with Ira Salters, and she told me, I asked her a question, and she was very against some policies with Governor Jennifer Granholm, and I asked her if she and the MEA supported her in her last election, and she said to me, and I quote, "You know we did." And I just wonder, feeling burned from past instances like that, is if that was a motivation to really go after Scott.
Well, I think it is, because what's happened is that the MEA has been on the short end of a lot of legislative battles lately, and that does go back to the Granholm administration, because they have really been so successful in fending off any type of reform that impacts teachers, you know, that it was hard for them to keep that winning streak going. And when the state has been so strung up with a budget and had to find ways to make cuts. It was only bound to happen that the attention was going to go on the education community and teachers. And so, you know, I'm sure they feel really burned, and there was a reason to go out and recall Paul Scott, and that they had to show their members that they still had a pulse, that they were still doing things, and they weren't going to take this stuff lying down. They were going to prove a point that, hey, we are still relevant, even though we're getting rolled in the legislature. We can make an impact and we can make a statement by going out and taking out one of their own, or taking out one of the people who, you know, have been pushing these policy changes against them. And I think they did make that statement. In the end, I don't know how effective it will be, because I got to believe that a Republican will succeed Paul Scott, since the election is going to be on the Republican presidential primary date of February 28. But, you know, they still showed that, hey, don't tick us off, because we can do something about it.
One of your lead stories at MERS on the front page talks about how former Congressman Pete Hoekstra has decided to skip two Tea Party-sponsored U.S. senatorial debates, and they're a little ticked off about that. I'm starting to wonder, is the Tea Party starting to lose some steam here in the state and perhaps nationally?
Well, I don't know about that. You know, the thing is that they aren't getting the publicity that they had gotten before. I mean, they're not the fresh story they were a year or 2 years ago. But that doesn't mean they're any less relevant. The thing is that they're not the vocal minority anymore. You know, the Occupy Lansing, Occupy Wall Street, that kind of movement is kind of taken over as like the fresh new movement and of the day, you know. But from what I understand, Tea Party groups are expanding. There's more of them. And they're really important, I think, with conservative districts. And in this case, we're talking about the Republican senatorial primary against Debbie Stabenow next year. And, you know, Pete Hoekstra does have some credentials that the Tea Party might like. But, you know, there are other candidates who may be able to appeal to them a little better. You know, he was at a debate in DeWitt a little bit ago, and, you know, from what we've heard, didn't really wow the Tea Party people. You know, they kind of like Gary Glenn or Clark Durant or maybe some of the other options out there who they see are as a little bit more right than Pete Hoekstra. So, you know, they are looking at maybe coalescing around a different candidate, somebody who could give Pete Hoekstra a challenge, because as of right now, he's the runaway front runner and the likely opponent to Debbie Stabenow.